The false teachings about hell and the devil do serious damage to our hearts, especially those who have been rejected by the church for who they are or for what they stand for. It is the number one fear of people who are LGBTQ+ in our community. It is the number one fear of people who are deconstructing. Oh crap, is the devil making me do all of this? What if I'm wrong? Could I end up in hell?
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
Well, hello and welcome to the Freed Hearts Podcast. So glad you're here with us today. My name is Robert Cottrell, and I'm here as always with
Susan Cottrell.
Hi there.
Hi.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. You know, we are like NPR. We are a listener-supported organization. Freed Hearts is a nonprofit 501c3 charity. We don't have any sponsors on this show. We don't have ads. It's not monetized. We are supported by listeners like you. If you are able, if you like what you hear here, if this is a gift to you in your life, if you think it's valuable, please support if you can. It makes a huge difference. Help makes all we do possible. You can do that on the Buzzsprout website. There's a little button that says support, or you can do that at freedhearts.org on the donate tab. So, and again, thank you so much. Do you remember Flip Wilson?
I sure do.
Yeah, well, you're my age, so you do that. He's an old TV show that had this character, and the line always was, "Oh, the devil made me do it." You know, and that, you know the one, that red face, not Flip Wilson, the devil. The red face, pointy horn, tail, pitchfork, smells a little smoky. You know, the devil. Satan. I can't do that very well. Satan.
For people younger than us, that's the Dana Carvey version.
Dana Carvey on SNL.
They know that.
He's the mayor, governor, king, whatever it is of that place. You know, that false place that the church made up in about 300 AD that had absolutely nothing to do with scripture or anything taught by Jesus or by the Jewish people before Jesus came. What was it? Oh, yeah, hell.
Hell.
Well, we're going to get way deeper into that, pun intended, in future episodes. And we do have a whole series on hell, or the lack thereof, of it on the Freed Hearts YouTube channel. You can just search YouTube for Freed Hearts. That's always one word. Or the link for that is on the freedhearts.org website. You know, as much as I make fun of this, make light of it, you know, the damage it does, the deadly impact of these horrible false teachings is not fun at all. And it's not something to take lightly. So I thank you for your patience with my trying to bring a little levity to a to a smoky situation.
To a hot situation.
There you go. but it
You're
is.
You're always surprised when I make a joke.
No, I'm not. I'm always a little bit taken back because I thought we had the, as I look down at my name tag on here, it says Rob Cottrell, Freed Hearts Podcast, host and comedian. clearly, no, I'm just
kidding. Mine just says host.
No, yours says everything. Host and everything else and everything. But this is, it is, not us, but hell, the devil, it is the number one fear.
Not our jokes.
It is the number one fear of people who are LGBTQ+ in our community.
Yeah, yes.
It is the number one fear also of people who are deconstructing. It's like, oh shit, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong about this? Could I end up in hell?
Yeah.
Is the devil making me do this?
Yeah.
So.
What a brilliant plan.
Oh my gosh.
What a brilliant plan.
Yeah, and we'll talk a bit more about that. But it's a brilliant plan to bring this in because you can control people with it.
Yeah.
You can commodify them. You can make them
believe do anything you want.
Yeah, that you are there. This church is the only safe place for them. And if they leave, raise their hand with questions, anything that they are, and you've heard the words, heretic, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we got a precious email, and we want to begin talking about all of this issue of devil and hell and all that stuff today.
Yeah.
So what did the email say, sweetheart?
It said, "Hey, Susan, it's me again." He's written before. "I wanted to ask you for your advice. I'm in the process of healing my faith, and I realized my biggest wound from religion is hell and the devil. How did you and..." Right, because it's the biggest weapon. "How did you and Robert overcome the fear of hell? I don't believe hell is true because God is unconditional love, but I still get worried sometimes. I struggle with a lot of what ifs. I heard some people say they had a near-death experience and they went to hell. It made me worried. How did you overcome the fear of the devil? Conservative Christians always say, you're following Satan if you don't agree with them. I'm worried to deconstruct my faith because I'm afraid I just want to have my ears tickled, like it says in the Bible. I feel like the Holy Spirit is guiding me, but conservative Christians put the fear in me, and it's the devil leading me astray. So how do you know when you're truly following Jesus or the Holy Spirit? Thank you, Susan and Robert. Okay, before I read my answer, I just saw something I wanted to say. It's very interesting that I feel like, he said, I feel like the Holy Spirit is guiding me, but conservative Christians put fear in me.
Yeah, I thought the same thing devil. You're thinking. Yeah.
It's like, okay.
What a response.
The Holy Spirit, who will lead us in all truth, Jesus said in the Bible. The Holy Spirit is leading. That still small voice is leading. But conservative Christians put fear in the way. Well, who do you think is telling the truth?
Yeah.
Is it the Holy Spirit or is it the fear that is being heaped on him by Christians? Okay.
And the fear has been taught, like we've said many times here, because the Holy Spirit is uncontrollable. And you can't control a congregation with something so strong as an uncontrollable Holy Spirit. So they have not misinterpreted. They've intentionally mistaught the passage about that you cannot trust your own heart. It is, you know, that the heart is deep. Is what it says.
Is deep.
Who can know it? But that's why Jesus said, I will send you a helper. And the Spirit, who will tell you things that I've not said, who will teach you things that I've not even told you, and wants us to follow the Spirit. But that's really hard for churches to accept because maybe it'll open the box. It's a bad business model. Yeah.
And this is a business.
And church is business. So
if you really are okay, you don't need 47 products to make you okay. So you're not okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
So what was your answer?
So I said, Billy, I love your question. It's interesting that people love to tell you you're following Satan, that the devil is leading you astray, that you want your ears tickled, but not them.
Yeah.
They are the ones who are doing exactly what Jesus told them not to do, judging, condemning, withholding love and approval. And you're doing nothing Jesus told you not to do. Still, they instead dig around in your eye for a speck, but it doesn't even cross their mind to examine their own log in their eye. So that should really strike you as disingenuous. That's just off the top here. What you're describing is your conditioned response. That thing that pops up was conditioned into you, so it's no surprise that it keeps popping up at the darndest times. Like, I'm always surprised when something pops out of my mouth that my father would have said, which I always hated, but there it is. That's something that comes in and upsets you, but it doesn't make it true. Here are a couple of things that really helped us. Look at the character of God. If God could get more pissed off at my children than I would, then I don't think it's God we're talking about. I would never punish them for eternity, for example. And all my guidance was always toward restoration of the relationship, not getting them to toe the line. If God is not way more loving, compassionate, kind than I am, then that's not God, is it? I know God's ways are not my ways, etc. But God's ways should be more loving, more kind, more tenderhearted, more forgiving, not satisfying some bloodthirst in a penal system that God set up in the first place. It just doesn't add up. The second thing is, look at the character of the system telling you all this. They are bloodthirsty enough for the system and for God. They don't want anyone to get away with anything without due payment. They don't want student loan forgiveness. They don't want universal basic income. They don't even want everyone to have access to health care. Is this about God's justice? No, It's anti-justice. Also, look at the string of wrongs they have been committed to in the past. Punishment, judgment, condemnation, shunning, or worse, for left-handers, divorcees, the poor whom the Bible says 300 times that we should care for. This is not about what God wants. It's not about God's justice. It's about their own hierarchy, where the vulnerable and the powerless are trashed. Aren't they? They burned Joan of Arc at the stake after she saved them, the entire country, by taking charge of the army. She happened to be dressed in male clothes,
by the way,
because she could run the army, and they burned her at the stake. They put Galileo under house arrest for daring to say that the sun doesn't revolve around the earth, which is equivalent to saying God doesn't hate the same people they hate. Reject. They don't hate anybody.
Yeah, of course not.
They refuse to allow the church to address its prolific racism. Promise Keepers, that men's group in the 90s, was set up with the intention of addressing systemic racism, but the church stopped that cold.
Wow.
Seriously. So yeah, it's not about God, God's justice, God's correction. It's about the church and its lust for power and control. True story. When you get that, it becomes extremely easy to let go of the fear of Satan or evil or any of those things that, honestly, the church continues to pump out to keep people in fear and in their control.
Mm-hmm.
God is love, not fear. Everything we do or think either comes from love or fear, period. So evaluate how you feel about anything you're being told. Do you feel love or do you feel fear? If it's fear, it's a conditioned response, and it came from people, not God. If it's love, it's God, period.
So good.
So finally, look at God directly. This may mean saying, God, show me what you want me to see. I'm confused. I've been told negative things about you, and I want to hear directly from you. If you're not okay with me, I need to know that. And if you are okay with me, I need to know that too. Show me. This can be very scary if you've been told that God does not accept you as you are, but it's the only way to know where you stand. Better to know for sure than to be afraid forever. And if God says, you're good with me, then don't doubt it. Because if you doubt the good things you hear, how will God tell you the good things? If God wants to say, I approve of you, there's nothing wrong with you, but you've been conditioned to believe that that is making excuses for yourself, then how will ever God ever show you the truth? God's like, I'm trying to tell you, but you have to be able to hear. And I know it's a conditioned response. And I always say, Pavlov's dog continued to salivate at the sound of a bell to the end of her life, I'm sure, because it was so conditioned into her long after there was no reward for the bell, but of food. So don't be surprised that the conditioning took and you're conditioned now. But the more you do these things and look into God's character and look into the church's character and look into your own heart, the more you will see truth. And the more that conditioned response will become ridiculous to you. Over time, it will look ridiculous. Again, it goes back to the character of God that Jesus shows us, not that the religious leaders showed us, because they want to draw lines against you, just like the religious leaders of today. Don't let them do that.
That's so good. Can I ask you a couple questions?
Yeah.
We talk a lot. We talked in the last episode about this, the advice to a parent, and then we talk about it again here about go to God and listen for that still small voice.
Yes.
And I know some people who will go unnamed that will do that and say, yeah, no, I heard God, and God said, yeah, I need to reject my child and follow what's written in the Bible, his holy word, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
We do talk sometimes about, are there red flags? Is there a litmus test? We talk about finding a truly affirming church, and that, yeah, any church that does not fully affirm without condition LGBTQ plus people is not a church you want to be part of.
Right.
Because it reveals their very core, that they are behavior focused and rules based instead relationship based.
Yeah.
Is there something about, as you sit and listen for the Spirit's voice, if I said, well, how do I know?
Yeah.
Are there some things I can look for that will be red flags to tell me if this is truly from the Spirit or not?
Yes, that's a really good question. Because it does get dicey, because we've so been conditioned
that
conditioning pops in there unaware to us. Here's the thing. I like to say that God's voice inside of us, Spirit, Holy Spirit, sounds like us. It's our voice, because imagine some booming other voice in your head would be really disconcerting. So it does sound like us and resonate with us. But the content of it, the more surprising it is, probably the more likely it is to be not from your conditioning. If, in other words, if you hear an answer and it fits with what you already believed, it's a good chance it's your conditioning popping up, because you already thought that, and you're seeking something because you have a question. And it's like saying to your kids who are frightened of you, you know, am I the greatest dad in the world? They say, yes, you are. Okay, good. Well, you didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
And your conditioning has to allow you have to break through and be able to hear something you didn't hear before. But the content of it will be upstream. It will be different. Yeah.
Like, even correction. Correction.
Yeah,
even,
that's a really good point, because people say, well, you know, God corrects us and it doesn't feel good. It hurts when God corrects. It doesn't actually. I have been corrected countless times by the Holy Spirit, and I know it.
It can be convicting.
Life-changing. And it's convicting, but I may feel like, oh, I feel a little bit embarrassed because, oh, I didn't know I was doing that thing and I'm sorry. But
it's life-giving.
I never feel shamed. I never feel unworthy. I actually feel loved when I hear that. It's any correction from God is wrapped in this loving holding that God does of me. And so I never feel like, you know,
feel
ashamed of myself.
Not ashamed,
no.
Not,
and know, I never feel rejected. I never feel like I have to go banish myself in the corner for 24 hours or whatever. I feel loved. And the worst I feel is embarrassed or like, oh man, I wasted so much time doing the wrong thing. But that's the extent of it. And hard work may be ahead to change some things.
Yeah.
And these have been serious corrections, but it never feels like that. But when the church corrects
it feels totally different. That's
it feels
right.
totally different.
That's how you can tell many times is how does it make you feel in
yes.
that? If you feel bad, guilty, shamed, horrible about yourself, unworthy.
It's not God.
It's not God.
It's
and
not
even,
God.
Even, you
and
know.
It's the thing about if it turns out God hates all the same people you hate, it's probably not God.
Yeah.
And you know, if God is affirming all the things your church already says, I would really be suspect. Yeah. I don't believe that would be God.
You know, that what you said about correction is really reveals to me what may be, you know, we almost like a very simple flag, either a red flag of no, it's not, or a green flag that yes, it is.
Yeah.
On this is that even in correction, if the bottom line, like the last thing God shares with you in that correction is, and hey, you're all good.
Yeah.
Or no, you're all good. I mean, that, beloved, that is really the message that I believe, and I think we believe, is the message that people most need to hear. Mm-hmm. What God wants to convey more than anything else to you.
Yes.
Is that I'm all good with you.
I'm all
You're
good
all
with you.
Good with me.
Absolutely.
You know, so even in the correction,
yes.
If it doesn't feel that way, red flag. If
Absolutely.
It does feel that way, I think you're right on track.
And why wouldn't the church want you to be all good?
Well, because the,
because it's a business.
It's a business. They need
it's a business.
That's right.
They need you compliant. It's the only way to get you to do the grunt work.
Yeah.
And to come pay your money and be in the pews every week.
Yeah, we did an episode a few episodes ago about the church as a business, and that's might be one to go back and listen to. So,
yeah.
Can I ask you something else?
Yes.
Because you didn't address this in your email response.
Oh, yes.
And I think
yes.
you did at another time. But can I ask you something that this whole near-death experience thing?
Yes.
Because we hear that too. Well, there are people out there who had near-death experiences and they said they went to hell.
Yes.
What about that?
So, in short, I don't have a fully satisfying explanation for that, but I do have some thoughts about it. One is, we need to keep that in perspective, that the near-death experiences that are reported, or negative NDEs, we would call them, are incredibly few compared to the vast, vast majority that are really like life-changing positively and overwhelmingly beautiful and glorious, okay?
Let me say something real quick
along
that line. Hold your thought if you would.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's like a good and bad review on Google. You know, if you kind of had an attitude walking in the door and they forgot one pickle slice on your burger, you're going to trash them and give them one star because that's what you were bringing to the table.
Yes.
And you almost had the review written. And it's almost like,
yes.
And those kind of, you know, I went to hell and came back. They get some clicks on YouTube. They get, because, you know,
yes.
And sometimes the good, like, wow, I had a near-death experience and it was not that. They weren't really going into it looking for something.
Yeah.
They just had it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm not sure what the explanation is. I like the analogy, but the thing is that those who have had near-death experiences, and it's way fewer than 1%, it's a very small number, but they cut across all nationalities, all gender, belief systems. So it's not like those who haven't accepted Jesus are having negative NDEs and the rest are having positive, or LGBTQ people are having a negative. It's not that.
Right.
It's not any particular thing. It's across all the whole thing. Okay. We can't figure out what it is. It's not a specific
right,
group.
There's nothing. There's no explanation for it.
Yeah, but the other thing about it is, and I have read these in these NDEs or heard them in videos, where it was negative and they went very negative. But all they had to do at the end was they said, "God help me," and they were out of it. They were out of it. Okay. So there's a trap door here out, an ejection seat.
Maybe it's just out of the fear of it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
All of that is more deeply the explanation of exactly what it is.
Right.
Because I do believe we, from what I know, that we bring that fear. There's a very deep subconscious fear that we need to play out for some karmic reason. And I don't want to scare people to say, if you're afraid of hell, then that's where you're going. That's not it at all. Remember, it's a very small portion and there's not a common thread through it.
Yeah.
But there may be some correlation between what they expected to happen and what happened. But all you have to do is say, no, I don't want this. Get away from me. God, I need you.
Yeah.
Okay. I can go in with that kind of I could even go toward that if I had that kind of an escape plan.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? That
that
changes everything. But hell forever, eternity, we can't even.
And we're going to get into that whole thing. And again, it kind of goes back, like we said about the bottom line on listening to the Spirit.
Right.
It kind of goes back to that too, is that the kind of God we believe in?
Yes.
These, if you know,
and it is the kind of God that the church is peddling, church.
That's right.
Is peddling.
Starting in about 300 AD.
True.
That's right.
Right. It, if it's it, does it resonate in your spirit? Here's the thing about it. The conditioning, the default of the conditioning, that's the louder voice in the scenario. And to hear the still small voice, that's why it's called a still small voice. It can be harder to hear in the whirlwind. Mm. All right. There's a whole story about the whirlwind, and the God was not in the whirlwind. God was in the still small voice. Mm. And the conditioning is the whirlwind. That's the predominant voice in us. That's the loudest voice until we're able to quiet it. And meditation helps. And, all these things that you can do to quiet your mind and let that still small voice speak. Yeah. Even to say to the whirlwind, the conditioning, go away. I heard you. Thank you. We're done now. I'm not listening to you.
Yeah.
But the other piece to that that goes with that is stop listening to negative NDEs. I really recommend you stop listening. If I went out with a bunch of friends, girlfriends, and they were all trashing their husbands and they were trashing you, and I sat and listened, even if I didn't participate, it's going to have an effect on me.
Yeah.
And so to listen to these NDEs and to think you'll be the impartial observer and just want to judge for yourself.
Yeah, it does no good.
It has an effect.
It has an effect, yeah.
It has an effect and it's disproportionate.
Yeah, that's good. That's good advice. Because
if you've seen one, you've seen enough
yeah.
to counter all the positive ones you'll see.
Yeah. So, beloved, that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So, beloved, you don't know. Don't worry. You're not, there's no what if I'm wrong. You're not wrong.
No.
You're not wrong.
Love is not wrong.
You're not, you don't have to worry about hell. No, the devil did not make you do it. You're all good. You
God
know?
Does not have a score to settle.
No, that's right. You know, I swear to you. But it's a process to defrag, to deconstruct your belief system. So take your time. Keep rebooting as many times as you need and just let go. Enjoy this journey of discovery. We say we opened the box we had God in and all heaven broke loose. We are here for you as you keep on going. Keep letting us or others who love you, support you, and speak truth about you, about how much you are loved because you are loved. And you talked about not listening to negative things. Fill your life with positive things that convey that message that you are all good.
Whatever's good, praiseworthy, of good report.
That's right.
All of that, that whole verse, yes.
Yeah, about how acceptable you are exactly as you are, because that's the truth. That's the truth. You are. If you want some great links to articles and podcasts and organizations, movies even, email us at hello@freedhearts.org or go through the website freedhearts.org and we'll send you a list of some very helpful links and also vibrant community and all kinds of stuff. But there's some great links on the website freedhearts.org. Go, beloved. Go. Love and be loved because that's the truth about you. You're all good. You deserve it. Bye.
Bye.
Would it be okay if I were to tell you that I am afraid someday? So I call you up and you call me down. Would it be okay?
You've been listening to the Freed Hearts Podcast. We have extensive resources and vibrant community for you at www.freedhearts.org. Just come say hello. And if you have questions or issues or comments about the podcast, things you'd like us to talk about, reach out to us at podcast@freedhearts.org. The music is provided by Hannah Cottrell, our daughter, the Grammy-nominated Saint Sinner, and you can find out more about her at heysaintsinner.com. Please share this, subscribe, and follow on your favorite platform, and thanks for listening.